Got a full house today, and I hope there's a full house for what we're going to be talking about here. That's the Wall That Heals. It's coming to Billings, Montana. It's going to be manned 24/7 from July 2nd to July 5th. Why is this important? Why don't you answer that question? Why is the Wall That Heals? It's a three-quarter replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. Three-quarters replica. It's huge, and the names are on there. Why does that matter? Does that matter to you? I hope it does, and I think it does, especially as we look at celebrating our 250th anniversary. And I got a studio full of people who it really matters to. We'll get into that here today on Voices of Montana. We are talking about, well, the Vietnam War and patriotism, but also healing from some of those scars that happen in those situations, right? I'm so glad that we have folks in studio to talk about that, because you never know how you're going to react in certain circumstances and situations, right? The drama, the immediacy of war and conflict, and with that, there are those who have fallen. There are your brothers and sisters who have fallen, and you don't forget them. Our country shouldn't forget them either, and we don't, right? So let's welcome our guests here in studio and get on to this presentation today about the Wall That Heals, but also talk more about conflict and recovery over those things. In studio, Al Work. Al is a judge advocate for the Marine Corps League, the Eugene Serra Detachment 418, and also a volunteer on this. How are you?
I'm doing great. We just so appreciate you getting us out to all your audience, so we can get the word out to Montana.
We appreciate you bringing the wall here and all the volunteer. Kathy, I want to there fist bump.
Thank
How
you.
Are you?
Thank you. I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thanks for coming
thanks.
On.
Oh, thanks so much for having us in here.
Yeah, do all this. And then Tim Tates, site manager for the Wall That Heals. That's the national organization. I don't have the website pulled up there, but it's like
the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
There. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How are you? Thanks for coming
in. I'm doing
in.
Well. I'm doing well. It's good to be back in Billings.
Yeah, right. Your son is in studio here. And that's great. So you got some connections here. I heard, Tim, that you've got like 26 sites, right?
31
this year.
Yes, sir.
That you're visiting. And then when Montana came on the map, there was like a dogfight to see who could get there.
Right. Montana's always one of those great states that we don't have to beat up people to try to get here. And so we had lots of our team that wanted to come out to Montana. And unfortunately, at the last minute, we had a staff change, and I got to come back to Montana. Unfortunate for me at the last minute, but it's always fortunate for me to get back to this wonderful state and all the beauty that Montana holds and the patriotism. This is an incredible community. Billings is one of the very few communities who's had the chance to host the Wall That Heals three times, and this will be their third time, and we're looking forward to a great event this week.
Al, what does it take to host the wall? We'll talk about the emotional, why is it here and how it makes you feel, but logistically, I mean, this thing is 375 feet long.
Yeah,
right?
It was a very intense
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We started back in November. Amy Hunt, our leader that's ramrodded us through all this stuff, she put in the application and got the thing going, and then everybody just jumped right on board.
That's good, right? Yeah. And Kathy, maybe you talk about that as well. From November, when Amy said, hey, this is a go, you guys had to put on your work boots, didn't you?
Very much so. And these guys much more than I did, because I get to go to work every day. So these guys have just done so much with the committees, and I'm on the email list, and I mean it's every day there's like 20, 30, messages back and forth. Yeah. What we're going to do, how we're going to get food, how we're going to get water, how we're going to take care of these people, how we're going to man the wall. It's been a process. It's been wonderful, and these guys have worked so hard. And I'm so proud that I get to be just a little part of it.
Let's talk about what's happening here today. And Tim, maybe comment on that, because as the wall goes to numerous communities across the country, you're working with individual groups like the Billings group here as well. Some are probably more coordinated than others, right? But talk about that. Talk about that experience in working with Americans on the ground for something like this?
So the beautiful thing about the wall is, even though it's been 50 years since the war and we thought that the desire to bring a traveling replica to your community was going to die down, it hasn't. We had 153 applicants for the 31 stops that we are going to do this year. And that, I mean, Billings applied. They obviously heard about it from November, but their application process began early last summer, where they sent in an application, said, hey, we want to host it. And then we sit down as an organization and try to vet them out, say, okay, who's going to be your group? And when it first came in, it was Marine Corps League. And we were like, it's got to be more than Marine Corps League. You got to bring in these other organizations. And so she really worked hard to bring in the other organizations, not just about the veterans communities. When you look at, you know, the visitors to the wall, over half of them weren't alive when the wall was built in 82. So how do you then market to the community to say, okay, we don't want to just bring in the veterans. We want to bring in everything. We want to bring in those affected by it. My generation, those who were the children of the Vietnam veterans or the grandchildren of the Vietnam veterans, because those are going to be the big part of it. And so getting those people involved makes it happen. I mean, I learned this morning during our walkthrough that the Billings School District literally sent out a message to every family in the entire district that said, hey, today when the escort lands and as it's coming through Billings, these are the streets it's coming on. Be on those streets and man those streets. That's that energy initiative that we want to see from a host so that they can make that reality happen. And so, you know, we've had some, you know, times here, that, like I said, this is the third time in Billings, but to see a community and to see a host organization like the League to go out there and add those people in, then you know it's going to be a special event.
Al, you were talking about that a little bit on the education side of things. Al's sister taught Huntley Project sixth grade for a while, and Courtney Kibblewhite was one of her students. And she relayed this story, Tim, and I think you'll appreciate that. I know Al does as well. And make sure you tell your sister, too, about at that age, 12-year-old, your sister ingrained in her a love of country. She taught about the Vietnam War. She taught about the Holocaust.
And she's listening to you.
thank you for what's her name?
Sandy.
Sandy Burdett now.
Sandy, thank you for what you did. Because as Courtney relayed that story, you know, her kids are not maybe getting that same kind of lesson nowadays. And as you noted, Tim, 50% of the people who visit the wall, I don't know if they don't have any connection, but they weren't alive when that was around. So maybe Al, since it's your sister, give a shout out to her, but also talk about how that's important, how education on these things are also important to us.
Love you, sis. And yes, for my whole life, she has been very, very pro-veteran. And does whatever she can, anytime she can, to, you know, especially during when her years as a teacher. She's so passionate about it. She passes that passion on to her students. And
it sticks with them.
And it does. Yeah. And it does.
Yeah, and that's so vital, because I think education-wise, if we lose touch of not only the people, but our values, it's really hard to regain them. Kathy, talk about, you're the paymaster there, right?
I am. I just started, so.
So you're pretty popular, or maybe you're growing in popularity.
Well, I'm not sure about that either. So.
talk about your connection to the wall.
It's just really through, I don't know any Vietnam veterans. My family, did not serve. I mean, they served in the Navy, mm-hmm. and such, but nobody went to Vietnam. But I just feel like this is, I'm so excited to see it. I've never seen it, but I've heard about it, and I've talked to people since we've been going around talking to, the people we've shared this with. I've been talking to them, and they're like, I was awestruck, and I'm literally listening to them. I get goosebumps. I've got them now, and I cannot wait. So that's, I'm just so grateful that we could bring the wall.
Yeah. Tim, Al was saying earlier, you know, 4th of July is pretty, it's an honor to have it here over the 4th of July and the 250th as well. But he was saying, you know, if it was here earlier, we think the school communities would come out. And you noted that school district number 2 was behind this, even though those kids aren't in class right now. Talk about how valuable that is in the mission that you do.
So one of the things that we try to make sure the hosts understand is that One, they're bringing in a replica of the wall in Washington, D.C. So this is an event where we don't allow it to have food trucks. We don't allow it to have car shows and things. We want you to replicate the wall experience in Washington, D.C., that solemnity and that, you know, sense of awe and wonder and healing that occurs at the wall in D.C. because we are the organization that built the wall in Washington, D.C. But the biggest part that many of our hosts fall short on is getting the word out about our education piece, because education is the number one thing we do as an organization. One of the things that's going to happen throughout the week, starting on Wednesday and going all the way through Saturday, is that we're going to offer up to 5 tours per day. And they're about 45-minute tours, and they're posted on the website, and they're structured each day. And that's where people can come, and we're going to teach them about the 50-year timeline of the war. We're going to teach about how that war led to the development of this memorial and how this memorial changes our nation and the way we deal with veterans. Our organization believes and understands the reality that we live with today. That patriotism that you experience in the class, that patriotism that we tell our children, when our children walk up and say thank you for your service to a veteran or a service member, that began because the Vietnam generation said no other generation of veterans like myself are going to experience what I did. So when we went off to war, you know, in 1991 for the first Persian Gulf, those veterans were there to say, hey, this is going to be right, and they made that happen. And it was because of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial that we built then the memorial to the Korean War, to World War II, to World War I. And now, October, we're dedicating the war to the first Persian Gulf.
And when we did the show, and thanks for that, Dan. Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Yes,
and Al as well. I mean, we'll talk about that because I want to – it's personal, right? Yep. When you see names on the wall, you it's even if you don't know that name, that reminds you of somebody. And their sacrifice as well. So I want to talk about that. I guess I forgot where I was going there, and that's okay.
You
I want
to talk education.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The value of that. And so millions of Americans have visited this replica. And not only the wall in Washington, D.C., this is the wall that heals, and it's a traveling replica, three quarter scale replica. So it's 7.5 feet tall, 375 feet long. You can't miss this, right? Will James Middle School here in Billings, Montana, will host this wall. The schedule starts today with the procession. And we'll kind of get into that a little bit and some of the logistics around the wall. July 1st, volunteers are assembling, and this is going to be open 24/7. Okay, so from July 2nd, the opening ceremony at 6 o'clock, but 2 o'clock is when the wall will be open. It'll be open and manned 24/7 until July 5th at 2 p.m. when the wall gets torn down and it'll be disassembled. And that's probably always a moment, I would think, when the wall gets put up and when the wall gets torn down, so to speak. Tim Tates is with us, a site manager for the wall that heals. That is with veterans. What is it again here?
It's the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
There it is. And it's just
VVMF.org.
Thank you. And so search for that. And there's a lot of good information about it. The whole 2026 schedule is up there. Al Work is in studio here. He's a Marine Corps veteran and also a judge advocate for the Marine Corps League Eugene Serra Detachment 418 in Billings. Associate member there and paymaster is Kathy Work, who's in studio here. So I'm going to turn to you, Al, and have you kind of talk about maybe that moment. You served, and thank you again for your service. When that wall is assembled and you're walking down that long line and you're looking up at names there, as a serviceman, what goes through your mind?
It's just tugs at your heartstrings. You know, so many of the people that I serve with and everything that were over there, you know, talked about some of them people are on there. And when you go to the one in D.C., there's stuff all over there that, you know, just... It inspires you. People leave things there, and I'm sure that'll happen here, where, you know, like six pack of beer, and they'll put on there, remember when we used to drink this, and it's just I can't put it into words how much it means to go and see all the people that gave their life for our country, and the sacrifice that them and their families made for the Vietnam War.
Is it healing?
It is. It really is. It makes you proud of all those people that served And you think about that instead of the loss that, you know, that they went through. And I mean, it was an intense war. It was very hard on a lot of people, you know, and a lot of the veterans that come back, they really won't talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it stays with you for the rest of your life.
It's indelible. I mean, and I can share a story of a friend of mine in Missoula, Montana, served in Vietnam. He can remember virtually every day of his service life, right? But he couldn't remember if you visited with him last week or the week before. But you want to ask him a story about Vietnam, he'll tell you every detail about it. And that's why it's indelible. It leaves its mark, Tim.
You know, the wall is incredible in the stories that it brings out. You know, it's funny because one of my big ties to the wall actually is centered here in Billings. You know, Ann Reinecker is my son's grandmother, and she's one third generation Billings when she went to Central High School here. And
yeah.
His mother, you know, went to school here. And so, you know, she lost her husband, Ralph Williams, here. From Billings, and he's one of the 15 names on the wall from Billings that we're going to honor this week, and amongst all those names. And when you have those people who come in, you know, his unborn son, when he was killed, is going to be able to come down and see the wall that heals for the first time ever. And to sit there and understand, to see their picture, to hear the stories, one of the things I always engage with when I see visitors is I always ask the visitor, you know, tell me the favorite story about your friend. Tell me one of the fun, because you want to see the humanity. You want to hear those stories. You want to hear those laughter, those crying emotions. And that's what the wall brings out as it brings into that community. Is those stories, and it's through those stories that you, each and every time, you then look at a name. And when you do the tours, and I'll give kid tours, and I'll talk to the kids about, you know, the professional baseball players, or I'll talk to them about the link between the movie The Toy Story and The Wall. And when you can bring that alive, you can bring a child who's 5 or 6 years old who just sees names, and all of a sudden they sit there and they're able to sit there and say, wow, I now see the connection. These are people. These are the young men and women who set aside their lives to go off and serve on behalf of our country. They gave up, and they were never able to come back here. And we owe them a great debt of gratitude for the freedoms that we have today and the celebration that we have this weekend.
And that's got to be pretty healing for you to see that, you know, it may be different than Al's experience, because you're a site manager here. You've taken the wall down and put it up several times. But now you're seeing kids and families respond to that. I mean, is that healing for you?
You know, it's I don't know how much healing. It opens up a lot of things. The hardest thing about the week is not the fact that we're open 24 hours a day and that we're going to be there probably 12 to 16 hours a day to help supplement the volunteers, that we're working and doing all that work. That's physically hard, but it's those stories and those emotions. It's those things to sit there and grapple with a family who's trying to understand, why did this person die? What was this for? And for us to then be able to put that in perspective during a tour, for us to be able to say, this is what the vision that we went into this war, and this is the reality. You know, Vietnam is not a democracy as we see it today, but the people of South Vietnam who got to experience those 20 years, 25 years that we were there, have a different viewpoint on life. And when you can sit there and make that, you can sit there and take somebody who's calcified about the pain and anguish and say, I lost my cousin and it was worth nothing. No, it's worth this, this, and this. And we're this. The sacrifice wasn't for democracy there, but it's the freedoms we have today.
I don't remember who it was. It was one of the U.S.'s famous generals. I don't know if it was Patton or not. Maybe it was Patton. And I relayed this quote the other day where he said, we shouldn't, and I'm going to summarize it, but you know, it's not the mourning for the people who have died. You should celebrate the fact that they lived at all with that kind of intent to protect your country and to be someone who puts themselves out there, willing to sacrifice for it as well. And we see that in this wall. Kathy, I want to ask you a question here about, I know you're serving right now with the Marine Corps League. You're an associate member there.
Yes.
And so you've got a lot of friends who have served, but you yourself haven't served. And that's okay, right?
I tried.
I tried
to get into the Navy, but I couldn't.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. I think anybody who has served would say it'd be nice if we didn't have to have this at all.
Agreed.
So to speak. What are your thoughts as someone who's close to all these members getting together here now and supporting this wall?
I think it's amazing that we can all do this. And I'm, like I said, I'm just so grateful that I can be a part of it. He's my Marine. It's I do it because of his passion and he's instilled that in me. And I've known him since 1985. So we've been friends for quite a long time.
And that was not long after coming out of service, Al.
I got out in 81. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about this one thing you want to mention, and we got enough time to get into it here. Volunteers, right? You guys are volunteering.
Yes.
For this.
Yes.
And you wanted to make sure you thank them because they're. I think you guys are going to ask an awful lot of them in terms of their time.
We have for months and months and months. Yeah. Amy Hunt is the one that initiated the process. She's the one that made out the plea for the wall to come here, and she's the co-chairman. Trevor Bornhart came in and he's done yeoman's work. He's with the American Legion Riders 119, and our volunteer leader is TJ Rogers. She's with the Vietnam Navigation Network. Yep. She does amazing work them, and she had to juggle at the beginning. She had to juggle her work there with our work, and she came through every time. The motorcycle escort team leader is David Walters. He's another from the American Legion Riders 119. I am the education and team leader and with tours. And once again, if anybody wants a private tour, if you get 13 or more people, these guys will take very good care of them. I'm a little sad that we didn't have the schools in now because, you know, there could have been a lot of education through our community on Vietnam for this being here.
A lot of teachers would have signed up for that.
Yeah. Our marketing team leader is Tim Bender, and he's been all over the town and the region getting donations from all the amazing people that, you know, everybody you talk to is just really wants to be a part of this. The logistics and utilities team leader is Doug Wood. He's a Marine Corps League. He's our master at arms at the Marine Corps League. Gil Floyd is doing the ceremonies, and he's with the American Legion Riders. Our fiscal sponsor is Ken Callahan, and he's the one that brought us the 301C so we could get donations put in there. And he's been cutting all the checks, and he's been, you know, taking care of all the stuff that we needed to get done on the business end of the deal.
Thank you for making time for that and doing that. And all those volunteers, thank you for that too. So we're going to come back and get more into the logistics of it here. As Al had mentioned, if you want a private tour, put 13 folks together and Tim will take care of you. This is the Wall That Heals. Again, it's coming back to Montana. It was in Butte about 3 years ago, third time now in Billings, and for the 250th. What a time. They call it the wall that heals. And when you talk to people who have visited it, they'll say, yeah, and this is what this is. It's a 3/4 scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. And this travels around. It's been, I don't know, Tim, how many years?
This is our 31st season in over 800 communities throughout the United States and world.
There you go. 31 years. And that's healing that's been necessary. As we heard Al Work, who's in studio here, and Kathy Work talk about how it impacts them. And then also that opportunity. We've got our 250th anniversary. This is July 4th. And what a better way, I think, to celebrate in spending some time in appreciating how we got here. Because those names on the wall are one of the reasons that we got here and we still have these freedoms today. So this is going on in Billings, again, July 2nd through July 5th. There's a procession today because this thing is big, 375 feet long and 7.5 feet tall, and it does have an impact. In studio here again, that's Tim Tates, who he's the site manager with the Wall That Heals, travels at times, has family in Billings, Braden and Herb in studio here as well. He kidded that they were his bodyguards, but I think as a Coast Guard guy, you seem like you can probably handle yourself. Okay, Tim.
I try.
Yeah, you got to watch out for Al, though, I think.
It's Marines. You always got to be worried.
He's just a big teddy bear.
Yeah, that's what you say.
Al work in studio. Al and Kathy, thank you guys for all the volunteering on this. Tim, I want to kind of turn our attention to the wall a little bit and what the logistics are behind this. We talked about all the volunteers that are needed, and there's more. There's a call for that here today as well. You can kind of reach out. Go to EugeneSarah.com, and they'll be that's the Marine Corps League Detachment, and you'll be able to kind of find more. And also the National Organization for the Wall That Heals. I just pulled up a schedule. It is VVMF, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.org. Got a couple of questions. We'll get to them online here as well. Joy asked to say God bless, and then Nancy called in as well. It's very moving for her. Where else is the wall going to be? It's not going to be in Montana, but 30 other places around the state. So it's a busy schedule. Tim, this wall, if people, what's going to be kind of special about it? What do you like? What do you want to make sure people don't miss?
So the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund was the nonprofit organization that was created to build the wall in Washington, D.C. We dedicated that in 1982. We still maintain that today. So if you've ever been to the wall in Washington, D.C., when you see the beauty and when you see how perfect the area around on the National Mall is so wonderful, it's because we take care of it on behalf of the National Park Service. In 1996, we realized not everyone could make it to the wall, physically, financially, emotionally. And so we went on the road with a half-scale version and traveled. And been now this is our 31st year to over 800 communities in 49 states and 3 countries. The beauty of the wall is we're basically bringing the wall into your community. So today, when we leave Laurel with that 53-foot trailer that's surrounded by 50 to 100 motorcyclists, we're going to have that homecoming parade that these veterans didn't have. Vietnam veterans got spit on. They got ostracized. They were treated horribly when they returned. And this is this community's opportunity to stand there by the roadside, to welcome home the names on those panels that are going to be in that trailer, and to greet those motorcyclists that are Vietnam veterans and veterans from other eras to say, hey, welcome home. We're proud to have you back. Starting this afternoon, once we land and have our home, our welcome ceremony there, we're going to start setting up the apex. And beginning tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we're going to basically have 40-plus volunteers. They're going to have to carry everything by hand. It all gets carried from that trailer and set up. It's going to fill up that entire field there at the school. 375 feet from end to end fills up that entire football field. It takes us about 6 hours to set up. But from the moment that panel comes out, which is that first panel, until the moment it goes in on Sunday, the wall is open. The wall is open for people to engage with. And that's why beginning there at 2 o'clock on Wednesday and all the way up until 2 o'clock on Sunday, we have those volunteers there to make sure that they're replicating that experience. Now, those volunteers that are working throughout the week are all, it's not mandatory, but it's really, really, they have to come to that orientation on Wednesday night because we're going to give them that background. We're going to give them all the resources necessary so that when somebody comes to visit at 2 in the morning, They said, oh, I'm not going to go to the wall. I can't do it. I'm not going to. But then it's been eating on them for the last couple of months. And they're like, I need to go pay respects to my buddy. And they need to, then they get there and they think it's in alphabetical order, but the wall's not in alphabetical order. The beauty of the wall is that Maya Lin wanted it to be a journey with the dead. As you walked into that memorial, the names would overwhelm you in size and number. And so she organized those names chronologically based on their date of death and alphabetical. So men and women who died in a group, whether that's an aircraft accident or a hill that got overrun, they're all listed there together. So you can sit there and look up that name. Now, the wonder that we have on our website and the ability that you have to be able to get in and see things, say you can't come to Billings here this week, is that you can go on to the VVMF.org website and you can go to the Wall of Faces. You can search for the names of those from your county or names that you remember, and you can see their picture. You can see remembrances that people have written about them, and you can do that. And our volunteers will have that right there on their phone. So they'll be able to sit there and say, hey, let me show you the picture. Let me tell you some of the stories and go from there. So it's that magical interface and experience that you get to have the entire week. And that'll happen throughout 24 hours a day. It's always remarkable. People say, it doesn't need to be open overnight. It needs to be open overnight. One, because of the beauty. This wall is better lit than the wall in Washington, D.C., because we only built it, you know, 7 years ago. The lights are better. It's more impactful there. So being able to come down and see it those 24 hours is the importance for those volunteers to be there. And then, of course, we have some very special ceremonies throughout the week. And some of those ceremonies are happening late in the day. And I think, you know, to get to experience it, whether you've been to the wall in Washington, D.C. once, or you've come by and seen the wall that heals when we've been into Billings before, or you've been a dozen times, every time you come, you're going to get a different experience.
We're going to take some time and speak about those ceremonies as well here in just a bit. And I got another question about the names that are on the wall versus friends that we know who came back but never really made it back from Vietnam. Here today on Voices of Montana, Skip in Hamilton's been standing by. He's got a question. I think this is a good one, and I'm sure, Skip, you're on the air here with Al and Kathy and Tim and even Brayden and Herb in studio.
And thank you, Tom, and lady and gentlemen, thank you for coming on. You've answered so many questions that I've even thought of while I've been waiting to come on. As always, when Tom has shows, we get the bases covered, and it's just wonderful what you do. If I was going to visit the wall, I would make sure it was in the middle of the night so that I could pine appropriately without a crowd. And I think it's wonderful the way you put it together. And the things you talked about electronically where people could access what I originally called for, because I know a lot of people that are in rest homes that are in their 90s, one just approaching 100. Tom, you might know one of them, Colonel Ed Sperry, when you lived over in this part of the country. He was the man, I live in Ravalli County, he was the man that was the senior officer when they closed Fort Missoula in 1975.
Yeah.
And he was asking about it, and I'll be seeing him tomorrow. But meanwhile, I was just hoping that there was something that someone like himself in a nursing home could go to and review it and think about it in his own way. And if there was something that electronically he could access.
Skip, thanks
and
for
so,
that.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
So I think, yes, sir.
Yeah, Skip, well, we appreciate what you're doing, and we certainly appreciate the vision and desire that you have to educate and show this exhibit to those who can't make it. The beauty of our website, if you go to thewallthatheals.org, is that we have a couple of videos up there. One of them is a very short video, and it talks about the experience. It shows you the setup of the wall. It shows you the experience, and it actually has interviewed a few veterans there on the ground. And I've taken care of a number of veterans over the years who haven't been able to see the wall that heals. And in 3 to 5 minutes, they get to see what happens and the magic that'll be there this week. In addition, on our website, we've got a YouTube page. And in that YouTube page, there's videos of different experiences, videos of the tour, and gives people the ability to not only see what happens at the wall that heals, but also at the wall in Washington, D.C., and our ceremonies there. And so we had our biggest ceremony of the year last 2 weeks ago on Father's Day weekend, and we had more people watch that online than were in attendance in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And that's the impact that the digital media can do for us and for people who can't make it to our ceremonies or can't come to Billings for the wall that heals.
Today, we're talking about the wall that heals coming to Billings, Montana. It's the National Wall. It's a 3/4 scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. It will be, as soon as they unpack the truck, as Tim Tates was telling us here, site manager for the wall that heals, it's going to be open. And it'll be open 24/7. Al's got a little message about that all the way through July 5th as well. So please, if you're thinking about some 4th of July celebrations or a drive, if you're out of the area a little bit, doesn't take long to get here, and I think it'll be well worth it. It will be in Afton, Wyoming, starting the 9th through the 12th. Al, how did it all come together? I mean, there's a little bit more on your plate to kind of thank people for, and you want to make a little call out for folks to kind of be, you know, pick up the torch, so to speak, I guess.
That's correct. We have the Marine Corps League here in Billings, and we are here to advocate for all the Marines in our area, and we do whatever we can. I just helped a lady get her plaque the other day. She'd been trying for 2 years to get the plaque on her husband's grave that we shot over over 2 years ago, and I was able to do in a couple hours what she hadn't been able to do in 2 years. So we will step up for any Marine in the area, and we will help them out with the help that they need. And we really need to get the younger Marines to maybe get involved in this, because we're pretty long a tooth there at the Marine Corps League. We get Amy and a few others are young, but you know, I understand that you don't have the time, you know, that we have to do everything, but if you could join in and step up, you know, help out a little bit, because every once in a while we don't have seven guys to go and shoot over the top of somebody and give them their respect that they earned when they pass. And it would be really nice to get some younger guys in there. We have a really good time when we go in there. You know, we conduct meetings like Marines do, but then we get done afterwards, and we really need some new stories, because I've heard all these ones a bunch of times. And then I would also like to give a shout out to the young Marines. We have a program where you bring your child and we will teach them discipline and help them, you know, become good Americans, good patriotic Americans. And one of the guys that gave us the seed money, Pat Weber, has it out at his shop every Tuesday. And we would love, you know, to get more members of that too.
Thanks for the call out there, and it can be effective, that's for sure. Tim, we've got like 2 minutes left here, and one thing we haven't talked about is, like I said, the friends who came back from Vietnam, but not necessarily, and of course, a lot of them end up taking their own lives. And you guys have a way to honor them.
Yeah, so the wonderful thing that what's going to unfold there at Will James Middle School this week is the fact that we've got the entire wall experience. So you've got the wall that honors the 58,281. You've got the ability to see those items that have been left behind at the Mobile Education Center. But a big piece and a growing piece of the wall is those touched by the war, those people who came back. 3 million men and women served in Vietnam and came back. And when they came back, they became our scoutmasters, our teachers, our business leaders, and everything else. And we lived with that for generations. But they went on to become sick and die because of Agent Orange or PTSD and those sort of things. And they can't be on the wall. But the in-memory plaque, which is an exact replica of the plaque that we have at the wall in Washington, D.C., is our way to mark them there at the wall and here at the wall that heals. And then we have that in-memory screen that's going to be there on the Mobile Education Center that'll show the 45 Montanans that have been honored. But thousands here in Montana have come back and died and gotten sick, and they're in our midst and dying and getting sick, and we have to honor them. One of the special things that's going to happen while we're here on display is on Friday night, we have what's called the Light the Night event, and it happens at 9:30. So your listeners are going to have to ask for a curfew extension. They're going to have to take a nap in the afternoon because it has to be dark. We're going to actually turn the wall a very special color that night. It's going to be orange that night, and it's going to be wonderful, and I hope that everybody will come to that and be a part of that. So that's on Thursday night there at Will James Middle School, but I hope they come this entire week.
Yeah, thank you. I'll see you guys there. All right.
All right.
Al work, Kathy work, right there.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tom, for giving us this platform.
Thank you so much.
Tim, good job. Appreciate that. Cody as well. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Cody.
Thanks, Cody.
And to the bodyguards, Brayden and her.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No harm came to Tim this entire hour. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.